The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition of the podcast. A big Saturday coming up with the Tolworth Hurdle, the feature at Sandown. We also have racing from Wincanton, Newcastle and Lingfield. And we'll be live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. with Gordon Brown, John Budden and Gary Capewell in the studio. Right now though, I'm in the studio with Mr. Ross Riley. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Mr. Mark Walton. I'm doing okay.
Good.
I am doing okay. It's been a while since I spoke to you.
Yes.
Have you solved all your problems?
Problems solved. Everything's fine.
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, every single one of them.
New Year's resolutions?
Not to make New Year's resolutions.
Not to make New Year's resolutions. Nah. Oh, well, you've caught yourself in some sort of loop there, haven't you?
Yes, exactly.
That's a horrible paradox.
It is. It's one that will never end.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm going to do now.
I'm surprised you haven't gone insane already.
Yeah.
Well, more than usual, anyway.
Yes. Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I think I've just made one now, haven't I? Just beforehand.
Yes.
That I'm just going to take next winter off. That's okay. It. I don't care. I'm just going to disappear into a rabbit hole.
So your New Year's resolution is to have a extended holiday.
Essentially, yes. Well, nice. it's to condense 12 months' work into 9 and then have 3 off.
Right. Which would be a nightmare first 9 months, probably. But well, a happy final 3 months, I imagine.
Yeah, it'd be like the opposite of having a baby. You know, 9 months of anticipation followed by 3 months of living hell.
Yeah. Although in your case, it's 9 months of living hell and then 3 months of enjoyment.
But 3 months of pure, unadulterated joy.
Which...
Can you just imagine? It'd be even better if I did go somewhere else, because just knowing that everyone else was... You know, having to get up in the dark and go to bed in the dark and just be in the dark.
Mm.
Knowing that everyone else was essentially a buried vegetable. And I could be a blossoming flower.
Well, that's a very, very poetic way of putting
Thank
it.
Thank you,
Mark. It's almost beautiful. what did you get up to over Christmas? Did you get any nice presents or anything, Ross?
No. No, I didn't.
More reason to leave.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I got a 2-day hangover from New Year's Eve. So that's about it. That was it. That was the world's gift to me.
Happy New Year.
Yes, exactly.
Have this for 2 days. Good. Right, let's talk about racing, because that's why we're here, and we've spent a good 3 minutes talking about nonsense and Christmas and such, which is all, of course, over now, and we're into the depressing January.
Oh, good.
Everybody loves January.
I'm taking 4 months off.
Right. Let's talk about March. Let's talk about the Cheltenham Festival, shall we?
God. 6 months off.
Yes. Big Bucks owner.
Yes.
Andy Stewart Andy Stewart has said that he'd relish the race should Annie Power take on Big Bucks in the World Hurdle. Obviously you got Annie Power, the new superstar mare in the making. Yes, she flies with one hoof in there, in a Superman style. Taking on the old boy Big Bucks, coming back to regain his crown after an injury layoff. It's a good story. Do you think it'll actually happen?
Do I think that he will return and regain his crown?
That, and do you think Annie Power will go to the World Hurdle as well?
I hope so. You might as well aim as high as you possibly can with her, because she's clearly a very classy individual and the race is there for the taking. Traditionally, the world, there's two kind of World Hurdle. There's one where you have the likes of your Inglesdrever or your Big Bucks dominate, or there's ones where people look at the result and go, what? So... you know, your years when Casbar Bliss was sent off odds on and things like that, and you get odd World Hurdle results. I mean, last year was a bit of a... I know classy horses involved.
Yeah.
But it was still a very, very open contest. So I hope she does go for it. I don't think Big Bucks will return necessarily to success.
Okay.
I think he was coming just about to the end of his tether. But again, it's much needed intrigue.
It is.
Into what a race that, as I said, sometimes is the best races are the ones in the middle, aren't they? Where you've got a few classy horses to decipher and then a few can spring a surprise. Mm. The ones where you've just got eight that might win it, or the ones where you've got one that will definitely win it.
Yeah.
And the World Hurdle is often those two things. So this year, actually, it should be somewhere in the middle, which
is
good.
It should, yeah. Big Bucks, 2-1, market lead, Annie Power, 5-1, should she go to the race. You've also got More of That, who's another young horse that could go on to be anything. He's 6-1. Solwit, last year's winner, 6-1. At Fisher's Cross is 10s, Rev de Civil are 10s as well, and Zarkander is also 10s. And then 14-1, barring those. So shaping up to be a very interesting race.
There's plenty in there that you'd look at and go, just no. Like, they might plug on for a place, but they're just not classy enough, or they've been beaten heavily before, or that kind of thing. Well, they just won't get the conditions. It actually should be a decent betting race this year.
Yes. With regards to jockey bookings, obviously that's all up in the air now with Ruby Walsh based in Ireland with William Mullins. Who do you think will take? I mean, they mentioned Daryl Jacob, obviously, because he's Paul Nicholls' stable jockey. And they talked about Tony McCoy as well, but he'll be on More of That if he goes to the race. So
yeah, I honestly have no idea, but I don't think it'll make a great deal of difference. No. I don't think Big Bucks is a horse that is jockey specific. You want the best you can get, but I don't think he's a horse who needs a particular style or jockey on his back.
Yeah, and I think it's right in the idea that whoever rides him at Cheltenham should ride him in the Cleve Hurdle as well. Okay, good. We're going to look ahead to some of Saturday's racing shortly. We're going to touch on the Tolworth Hurdle. Hopefully the racing goes ahead there, but there's been biblical rain.
That's just miserable, isn't it? To be fair, November and December were pretty mild, pretty nice in terms of winter months. This is it now, isn't it? For the next 2 months. Misery.
Happy New Year.
8 months off. I'm taking 8 months off.
It could be a stage where you got to do a year's worth of work in 1 month.
In 1 month.
I've got 4 days to get it all done.
I'll do 3 shifts.
Right. So let's start with the Tolworth Hurdle. Let's talk about that. The big race at Sandown. Five of them in the lineup. It's a Grade 1 novices hurdle over 2 miles, and we've got three horses in there that come here chasing the hat-trick. Upazo for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh, The Liquidator for David Pipe and Tom Scudamore, and Jossie's Hill for Nicky Henson and Barry Geraghty. Those are likely to be popular in the betting, all chasing hat-tricks. Do you think Upazo will be another Willie Mullins raider that comes over and dominates?
No, I don't, mainly because of the ground.
Yeah.
I think his improvement has definitely come on good ground on his last two starts at Fairy House. He's clearly been crying out for it, because before that he was very expensive to follow, and he was starting to be a very frustrating customer. But then he went to Fairy House and he absolutely murdered them. And then he went back there and beat some decent yardsticks in a very strong figure as well. So he's clearly a talented horse, but I think just the conditions on the day will be his undoing. And I've always been a big fan of the Liquidator. I do like this horse a lot. I've just been really impressed with the way he's gone about his business, and he keeps putting in very good figures as well. He's quite uncomplicated in terms of the way he rides. He's got form in soft and heavy ground, and I think the conditions are going to be the key for those. And I can see Tom Scudamore being positive on the Liquidator and leading them a merry dance. So I like him. I really like him.
Okay.
I think the conditions will play certainly into his strengths more than they will Apazo's.
Yeah. I must correct myself as well. The Liquidator already completed a hat trick. He's won twice this season, but did win at the back end of last season as
true,
well.
True. Yes. A seasonal hat trick.
Yes. That's what I obviously meant to say.
Yes.
Right. We're going to focus on Lingfield, because that's an all weather track, and we should therefore get racing on
Saturday.
Yes,
in theory. Yes.
Yes. So we'll start in the 11:50, that's the first race you've picked out there. A nice early start to the day at Lingfield. And we start with a claimer with 12 runners in, and quite open as well here, Ross.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where I know you like to start with maybe one or two horse names to throw at me. Yeah. You looked at this race and went, oh God.
Oh no.
There's eight that could win
nothing
it.
Nothing stands out, yeah. So talk us through your thoughts here then, Ross. Why did you pick this race?
Well, mainly just because there's a horse who I like to, you know, horses for conditions and courses and whatnot. And I think Paddy's Saltante, or Saltance, whatever you want to say, is very much a horse who is favoured by this 10 furlong track round Lingfield. He's raced over this course and distance four times. He won his first start in a handicap company about a year ago. And since then, he's finished fourth and third. Fourth in a weird race behind Brave Decision, where there was horses hanging off the track, and it was a bit of a mess, really. But it actually worked out quite well, and he then ran behind Lady Lunchalot, who was in a rich vein of form over that course and distance. Sent off a short price favourite the other day over a mile and a half with Adam Kirby on board. He just didn't get home, and I think the drop back in trip is the key for him. He's a reasonable chance at the weights. He's got Luke Morris on board as well. I think he's going to take plenty of beating. Ocean Applause would be of obvious interest coming into this off the back of a recent win, but he's got to prove his stamina. Honey of a Kitten goes in and out very quickly, and Copperwood won the other day as well, but he got a good ride and disappointed on his subsequent start. So I think Paddy Saltante is one of those horses that he looks in and out, but I think he just runs well in certain conditions.
Okay, Paddy Saltante then in the 11:50. The second race we're going to look at is the second race on the Lingfield card. It's Division 1 of this Class 5 mile and a quarter maiden, and we're seeing these maidens at this time of year. John Gosden horses sometimes artificially short at the top of the betting. He's got Joyful Friend in this. Do you think it could be another case of a Gosden horse going off a little bit too short?
No, I don't know.
Good.
I think this horse will win. I really liked its debut at Lingfield a couple of weeks ago. Ran behind a stable mate in the shape of Betimes. A horse who's bred to appreciate a stiffer test than it had that day, 7 furlongs on debut, just wasn't enough for him. The horse that finished second that day, Outback, has come out and run well since. So there's a lot to like about the form. The time was pretty good for the grade, but I just think the step up in trip is going to be very much its answer. Artful Rogue finished second last time out in a race that was very much run to suit the prominent runners, and Artful Rogue was always in a good position, so slightly against that one. Cosquillas, the Johnson horse, might well be the each-way answer, ran behind another Gosden horse last time out. I thought Joyful Friend would enjoy this Ebbermint trip. It is a slight question mark because he's yet to race over this distance, but breeding and run style and everything suggests that it should be winning on its second start.
Okay, on to the third race then, and this is the 2:35 at Lingfield. This is a good handicap, a Class 2 handicap over a mile and a half. Plenty in here with chances as well. We're likely to get something like 5-2 on the field. Energia Eros at the top of the betting is a Brazilian-bred horse that has yet to run in the UK, but Marco Botti does well with these kind of imports and very consistent where it came from, so... Do you think it'll make a winning start to life in the UK?
Oh, who knows? Let's be honest.
It is imponderable.
It is. You know, you often get Brazilian horses running over in Maidan, and they do quite well, actually. They've got a good record. So certainly has to be of interest, and he's just impossible to work out. I mean, he was running in Group 1 company. He's been given a mark of 112, and he's here in a handicap. So, you know, in theory, he's the best horse in the race, but... Honestly, who knows? So I think it's best just to, if you get a bet in the race, just to scratch him and concentrate on other runners. And there's a couple that interested me. One was Grendasar, who's the other Botti horse, who's starting to get quite a nice profile, Grendasar. Doesn't really run a bad race. Was beaten by Modern Stone, who reopposes here last time out. And he was just beaten on the line by Modern Stone's late charge. I think it's worth giving Grendasar another chance, even though... He's a couple of pounds out of the handicap because of his stable mate. And the other one was Kiama Bay, who I thought might be of interest as well. Finished third over a staying trip last time out behind Litigant, but dropping back down in trip here today. They could be value alternatives against the Botti horse, who's potentially going to be favourite. It's one of those races where you could see three or four horses being well backed and the market's changing all over the place. But yeah, Kiama Bay and Grendasar were of interest.
Okay. Let's have a quick summary then, Ross, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
Yeah, Paddy Saltance in the 11:50, Joyful Friend in the 12:20, and then the two against the field, Kiama Bay and Grendasar in the 2:35.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you.
And the Liquidator in the Tollworth if it goes ahead.
Good. Which hopefully it will.
Hopefully, yeah. Because we need a feature card on a Saturday, really. Although that said, if it doesn't Linkfield will be the feature card. So
yeah, good stuff. Anyway, thank you, Ross. Enjoy it on Saturday.
Oh yes.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Brierley on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Set those alarm clocks, another early Saturday start. Gordon Brown, John Budden and Gary Capel will be your team in the studio. It's Sandown, providing it's on Wincanton, also subject to an inspection. Newcastle and Lingfield on Saturday. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.